there. Are you ready to hear tales of the paranormal? Weird, unexplained, and just plain creepy? If the answer is yes, then welcome to your worst nightmare. But be warned, there's no turning back. Now here are Todd, Sean, and Nate, and they are middle-aged and creeped out.
Creepies, welcome to episode 254. Nate is your tech engineer, and we are your hosts, Todd and Sean. We're middle-aged and creeped out, and we are here on a very frigid night.
We are. I was just going to say, it's cold out there.
It is cold.
It is.
Good thing we do it inside, right?
Maybe it's cold out there.
Yes, and I've been inside at work, so that's
good
been nice.
Good for you.
I had to work out in it.
That's good.
Well, actually, nobody's been working out in it.
It's dangerous at this point, right? To have, yeah. I mean, people
very
are
dangerous.
I've seen people out working, you know, outside, but mainly getting other people out of the ditch and, you know, snow drifts and stuff. But
yeah, on the way here, my car said 9 degrees. Yeah, it felt like it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this morning it was -15, -20 wind chill. Yeah, it's like, ugh.
My our friend at church, he said tonight it's supposed to get down to -12, I think, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So that'd be good.
Frigid.
It is cold in Indianapolis.
Mm-hmm. I was telling the guys. I walked in after taking a break out the truck and walked back in. I was like, you know, if you sit there and just picture yourself on a nice warm beach, sun shining on you.
And visualization.
It's still cold outside.
It doesn't help. It doesn't help. I've tried that. No.
It's still cold.
It doesn't work.
It's funny.
Just makes it worse.
The snow started coming. What sat? I know this is gonna be dated by the time this drops, but still, it'll be nice and it will be sunny probably then, right on the beach. But it snow started what Saturday afternoon basically, and then the heavy stuff
it
came.
Started
and came
Friday
on.
Night.
Well, that's true. Yeah, but what was it? Sunday is when Jen and I were shoveling the driveway, and she came in. And I told her, I said, it was actually a really nice, and I said, who needs marriage counseling? We should just shovel snow together. She was getting tired of me out there. I could tell. She said, have you always been this ADHD? And I go, yeah. Like, you know, because I got to the point where I was like singing show tunes and stuff like that. Because I'm like, you might as well just enjoy it. Because what else are you going to do? The snow's not going to, I mean, might as well entertain somebody. And the kids are out there helping, but they really weren't helping. But by the time we got in, she's like, I got to go to work. And I'm like, well, let me drive you because we don't have any business. We need to get Harrison's truck because he was gone shoveling, driveways. And 17 call-ins. And then by the time she left, it was 19. Mm-hmm. And so she's like, I'm going to be there all night. I'm just going to have to stay. And she ended up about 8:30. I checked her. I'm like, are you staying the night? Or are you going to come home? And are you okay? And she's like, it's just a mess. She goes, I have gotten enough nurses to come in, but I have to go get them. So she played Jenna's taxi service to go get them.
It's crazy. Wow.
Then she had to get up. So she came home, slept a little bit, and got up and took them all back home in the van. Well, no. So at night, say Sunday, it was in the van. And then she took Harrison's truck the next day because I was thinking about taking it for home care. And I said, no, you go ahead and take it since you got to take people and all that stuff. So I took the white van, the pearl, the cream van. We call Pearl. I'm like, come on, Pearl. We got to. She and Pearl and I almost got stuck a couple times.
Yeah, it's not hard to
like,
do.
I don't want to do the home care stuff anymore in this weather.
Yeah, it's been.
Just go home.
Yeah, please.
Been kind of crazy this week.
Yeah.
Cold, lots of snow.
It has.
And
been.
It all hit the same date as the 78 blizzard.
Mm-hmm.
It was the anniversary
January
25th.
I saw it on Facebook. Right. Somebody was posting it. Mm-hmm. I was 7.
I knew we were due for a big storm at some point.
Nate called it. Is that what we're going to say?
Yeah. My dad, back then, he was a smoker. Mm-hmm. And during the blizzard, he was smoking so bad, or he had to have his cigarettes so bad that he walked from our house down to the grocery store, which was, I don't know, it was maybe 3/4 of a mile.
Mm-hmm. Safeway?
No. No.
Good guess.
I don't think it wouldn't have been Marsh at that time because it was, I don't know what grocery store was. But anyway, he walked in the blizzard to get his cigarettes. Yeah.
We had a county market.
Yeah. Crazy. But I don't remember much of the blizzard.
I don't remember any of it.
We weren't alive.
I remember being seven, but I don't remember the blizzard.
My brother was two, and I know there's pictures of like telephone poles like just popping out over mounds of snow. It was him in all his snowsuit, you know. And
crazy.
Pre-me.
2 years my prior.
Yeah. 2 years your prior. All right. Mm-hmm. Never mind. Oh, jeez. Yanked my headphones off. Well, we're safe and warm, so
it's all that matters.
Feels good in here. Yep.
Yeah, got the heat going
in the new studio.
That's good, Nate. I like heat. in the new studio. Is this the second or third time?
Second. Okay. And Nate and I did some recording. We recorded a couple more chapters.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Good.
I made a few flubs, but not too many. But yeah,
So what are you on pace for? Spring, summer?
I don't know.
Fall?
I'm hoping. What are we thinking?
Next year.
April
2028.
Yeah. We're doing pretty well, though. We're on, chapter 7, so not bad. Nice. I think I'm going to let Nate read the rest of them. I'm going to do the sound engineering now.
You should have hired Morgan Freeman.
I would have loved to have Morgan Freeman.
Oh, Andy. Yeah. Andy.
Okay. Well, I'm glad everybody's doing good. This will drop, 2 or 3 weeks from now, so. Yeah. Whenever the creepies listen to it, I hope they're doing well.
That's right.
And I hope it's warmer.
Yes.
It is time.
Oh, boy.
For the dad joke of the show. And I'm going to let you guys choose. I've got three good ones.
Pick your poison.
Do you want one, two, or three? Which one do you want me to do?
The first thing is when I said, oh, boy, I meant, oh, boy, is what I meant.
I knew that.
I'm going to go with three. Is that
you want to go with three?
Sure. I guess we both have
three?
To pick three.
Yeah, three. I went to buy some camouflage pants, but I couldn't find any.
He's not going to give you the laugh. He's not going to do it.
There it is.
He gave it to you.
There it is. See, camouflage.
Gives it up easy.
And that is the dad joke of the show.
That's right.
And you are welcome. So, there we go.
That's
good pick. I've got some good ones.
Do not send the therapy bills to us.
What are you trying to say?
What are you saying?
Speaking of therapy, Sean, do you have first announcements?
I do. We come here every week for the guy time, the paranormal, the fun. But the most, the thing that we do and we want to continue to do is build a mental health community. So we want you to get help out there. So call or text 988 or text home to 741-741 for any type of mental distress, suicide prevention, or any other type of crisis that you or someone you know may be experiencing. So go get you some help out there.
Amen.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
That's what we want. We want our creepies healthy.
We do.
We want to be healthy. So go get some help if you need.
Yeah. Speaking of health, I'm dealing with a little congestion. That's sore throat.
Cough drops.
Don't call 988, though, for
it. Yeah.
No, that's right.
You need to go to the doctor, sir.
Sir, what's wrong? I'm not feeling so good. Cough drops. Are those good cough drops?
Well, these are throat balms.
Oh, my gosh.
Balms. Anytime you get a balm, it's serious.
Throw it away. It's
supposed to coat your throat, take away some of the irritation, discomfort.
Good. Yeah, good. Well, anyway, get you some professional help if you need, or reach out to the group.
Get healthy.
Reach out to one of us or a friend, family member.
Stay healthy. Get healthy. Stay healthy. And Nate, you get healthy, too.
That's right.
Try them.
Yep. I know. Yep.
Reach out. All you can do.
Don't keep it in. Well, thank you, Sean. No special announcements as always. So we're going to get right to it. What is the topic for this episode, Sean?
Well, this is Nate's choice, and it is Kecksburg UFO incident. And if interested, please check out the show notes for the source links we use for this topic.
Kecksburg. I had never heard of this UFO incident.
Nate, how did you figure this out?
I think someone mentioned it at some point. So I wrote it down.
Okay. Nice. Yeah, I'd never heard of it.
That we talked to, you mean? Or like during the course of... I mean, we've barely been doing this podcast, so you know.
Yeah. Yeah, right. You have a little foundation on the Kecksburg UFO incident. Okay.
The Kecksburg UFO incident occurred on December 9th, 1965, when a bright fireball was seen streaking across the skies of six U.S. states and Canada, including over Detroit, Michigan, and Windsor, Ontario. Thousands reported witnessing the object, which some describe as making a controlled descent before crashing into a wooded ravine near Kecksburg, Pennsylvania, about 30 miles southwest of Pittsburgh. Old Pennsylvania.
Okay. 1965. Yeah, I wasn't even born then. I was negative six.
Pre all of us, right?
Yeah.
Negative six.
Yeah, there's reports of hot metal debris over Michigan and northern Ohio.
Oh.
Grass fires and sonic booms in the Pittsburgh metropolitan area.
I heard it was just a weather balloon.
Mm-hmm.
Really it was, fast.
It weren't nothing.
Yeah. They call it, what I'm reading here, as you said, Sean, mm-hmm. it says about the fireball. It says, residents see a ball of fire shooting through the darkening evening sky, and then seemingly the object, purportedly shaped like a jumbo-sized acorn, after impact, makes some sort of controlled crash into the woods. From there, the strangeness factor escalates with purported military personnel isolating the area from curious onlookers and toting something out of the locale on a flatbed truck.
Isn't that wild? So that's how, sure. And they said there was a lot of eyewitnesses, and one of them, I mean, a lot of these people sounded very credible. Mm-hmm. This guy was a volunteer firefighter. So it says, eyewitnesses, including local residents and volunteer firefighters like James Romansky, described finding a large acorn-shaped metallic object partially buried in the ground with no visible seams or wings and markings resembling ancient Egyptian hieroglyphics. Well, that's a little bit suspect, right? Military personnel arrived quickly, sealed off the area, and removed the object in a covered flatbed truck, sparking widespread speculation about a government cover-up. That would never happen.
No, I don't believe it.
Never.
NASA released a statement in 2005 reporting that experts had examined the fragments from the area and determined they were from a Soviet satellite.
The old Soviet satellite trick.
Which would make sense. That's why the Egyptian hieroglyphics, right? I mean, that makes, duh.
But the records of their finding
what?
Were lost in 1987.
Oh, boy. They also call Kecksburg the Roswell of Pennsylvania. Yeah. A nod to the world famous town in southeast New Mexico. So, yeah. Which this was 18 years after Roswell, by the way. So within 20 years of each other.
They also said it was a meteor. Like the NASA said it might have been a meteor bolide or however you say that. That sounds like a bunch of garbage.
What the people reported seeing or hearing were reports of wisps of blue smoke, vibrations, and a thump. And also that something from the sky had crashed in the woods.
So, and the fact that it was a controlled descent, you know, meteors don't have a controlled descent. It just goes and kind of comes down and bang. And it makes that noise too, bang. But it says that even, so the fact that there were an investigation, but then the findings were lost after, in what did you say, 87? Mm-hmm. It says subsequent investigations, including the Freedom of Information Act requests, have failed to produce definitive proof, fueling ongoing debate. So that's pretty wild that you, like, there is legitimately nothing out there.
They said people across six states and even as far away as Canada saw this. So it's pretty wild. Yep.
Some of the early reports in an article were the area where the object landed was immediately sealed off on the order of the U.S. Army and state police officials in anticipation of a close inspection of whatever may have fallen. State police officials were ordered the area roped off to await the inspected arrival of both U.S. Army engineers and possibly civilian scientists. When the state troopers and Air Force personnel searched the woods, they found absolutely nothing.
Nothing, you say?
That's what they claim.
Shows the fires, the town's fire station even displays a prop of the acorn-shaped object, symbolizing the enduring cultural impact of the event. And let's see. Whoops, I had it pulled up. Darn. It looks like one of the, you know, like the Smurfs hut.
I've got that same.
Yep.
Or something. Website, dirt, something naughty. That we're
looks like about. A beehive.
Let's keep it clean.
Keep it
clean now.
Beehive.
Smurf hut. That's what.
They said that the it was estimated to be around 15 feet long or about the size of a Volkswagen Beetle. So, yeah. I don't know. Yeah, it's.
There's graffiti on it, that's for sure. Nowadays. Or at least, you know, it's just.
Right.
What it looked like, the model, mm-hmm. yeah. But, yeah, people have definitely marked it.
They even said maybe, or they said there were claims, because you were talking about military personnel, Nate, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. and local authorities were, you know, closing it off. They said some have even claimed to have been visited after the fact by the Men in Black style officials who reminded them to avoid discussing what they saw that night. These stories quickly fed into the additional rumors and conflicting theories that began to emerge, all contributing to the growing legend of the Kecksburg UFO incident. So the Men in Black, the MIBs.
Uh-huh.
So they said...
The MIBs.
Since they lost all the records, they said loss of records is not a unique case for NASA. For example...
That's a good...
The original moon landing? Yeah. The original Truly. Tapes recorded during the televised Apollo 11 moon landing were misplaced or reused.
Jeez. So they
were taped over.
Super Bowls. Super Bowls is what they take. You're like, yeah. Do we got one later? We need something quick. That's so ridiculous. Like, come on. One of the most important steps in humanity, and you're like, oh, we taped over it. Yeah. What the heck did you tape over? Like, what? That's so dumb. I can't
accidentally
even...
put my super strong magnet on top of the tape.
Wiped
it clean.
Yeah. Wiped it clean. Completely clean.
I remember the good old days back in the 80s, just using tapes and taping over and taping over and taping over. And then by the time you do it so many times, it's not good.
Yeah. Or, yeah, the quality sucks.
The quality is terrible. It says, interestingly, the TV show Ancient Aliens posed a different theory. During the segment where they discussed the crash, the host theorized that it could have even been a top secret Nazi craft known as the Bell, or Die Glock, which ancient astronaut theorists suggest it could have been a time machine. Mm-hmm. The project was conducted in a secret location in Poland during World War II, and the show used blueprints to compare the similarities in the design to what was described to be found in the Pennsylvania UFO crash. It was a fascinating comparison, and the objects did look strikingly similar, but without physical proof of either the Kecksburg UFO or the supposed Nazi Bell, it is impossible to say whether there was an actual connection.
Another thing that they're saying it possibly could have been was, according to John Venturi of MUFON.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. MUFON, yeah.
And Shafton native Owen Eichler. Their recent investigations have led them to speculate the object that reportedly landed in Kecksburg was a General Electric Mark II reentry vehicle. Hmm. One heck of a name.
Yeah.
That had been launched by the Air Force as a spy satellite, but fell out of orbit. However, we need confirmation from NASA or the Air Force.
You're not getting it from either one of
them. Yeah, not going to happen.
This is interesting. It says the incident seemed to fade into obscurity, by the 80s. And it said until a 1990 episode of Unsolved Mysteries, one of my favorites.
Oh, yeah.
Focused on the incident in the small town. Once filming concluded, that large prop from the show was left behind. That's what's there now. The local fire department decided to restore the prop and display it as a way to promote tourism. The fire hall even opened up a UFO store as a way to generate funds for a new fire truck. So that's
cool.
It is cool.
They have a UFO festival every
year. Yes, they do.
Annual. So they, yeah. Be kind of fun.
It says it's held on July 18th, 19th, and 20th, or at least this last year it was.
Hmm. Nice and hot, yeah.
Mm-hmm. It would be hot.
Yeah, this is an interesting story.
So, yeah. What was it? Don't know. Nobody's talking.
It was an acorn, Nate.
Wow, it's been 60, I mean, you think 60 years.
Beehive.
60 years ago, though. I mean, yeah, think about that. That's a long time.
Yeah, it was. Or is. Yeah, I think it's funny they call it the space acorn.
I think the fact that they had so many eyewitnesses and people that would not let it go for the longest time, and then obviously they just had to because, it's just in those times, especially, it was still in the era where it was like you were a kook, on, like we don't believe in that stuff. And it's like nowadays it's like, oh my gosh, yeah, I'm sure there had to have been some kind of a cover up.
Yeah. Yeah, there's always is. It seems like. I think it's interesting that what was it? 5 or 6 states in Canada saw it. So
yeah, it wasn't just a small
event. Right. It wasn't just Kecksburg, Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
It was let's see, here's the states. It says Pennsylvania, Indiana, Ohio, Michigan, West Virginia, New York, and then Canada. So Indiana, one of them. It's interesting. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, they're saying state police officials said no one was allowed near the area, which led some to speculate that whatever had landed could have radioactive properties.
Oh, yeah.
The paper reported that it could have been a meteorite or perhaps a test rocket, though the National Guard and Air Force officials told the reporters that no rockets had been fired.
Hmm.
So that rules that one out.
Right. No rockets.
Says it looks kind of like a prototype Apollo re-entry capsule. Imagine how alien that would have looked in 1965. It says, somebody had remarked, it says NASA was conducting flight tests of the boilerplate command modules in 1965, but there doesn't seem to be any that were launched in December. There were a couple launched earlier in the year, though, which had long 3+ year mission durations. It's possible that there was an issue with one causing it to re-enter too soon. And then they covered it up to save face, which is possible.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. All these, speculated UFO stuff, they really intrigue me. Cause it's like, what is it? Why can't you tell us?
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
These other,
it's frustrating.
There's a couple on here that I love to read the Reddit stuff.
Oh, yeah.
But it's a husband and wife, and he grew up near Kecksburg, only a few miles from there, and she grew up near Roswell, and they were both, like, they weren't born yet, but they've grown up with UFO stories in two significant areas. I think that's really interesting. You know, it's like, hey, what do you have in common? Well, UFO sightings?
Yeah, no kidding. That is kind of cool. Ivan Sanderson, a Scottish-born biologist and noted proponent of UAP and other unexplained phenomena, disputed the meteor theory in an editorial on December 16th, noting inconsistencies between common meteor observations when compared with the fireball observed on December 9th. Quoting a military spokesman who had purportedly stated, "We don't know what we have here, but there is an unidentified flying object in the woods." Sanderson raised issues with the speed and the trajectory of the object as it passed over the Northeast, as well as reports of unusual debris believed to have been associated with the object. And it says neither meteorites nor bolides fly, they fall, Sanderson said. What's more, they don't just drift in at 16.5 miles per minute.
Yeah.
Mm. So that's his theory.
Yeah, a NASA spokesperson admitted the records pertaining the Kecksburg UFO incident had since been lost. As a rule, we don't track UFOs, the spokesperson said. What we could do, and what we apparently did as experts in spacecraft in the 1960s, was to take a look at whatever it was and give our expert opinion. We did that. We boxed the case up. And that was the end of it. Unfortunately, the documents supporting those findings were misplaced.
Hmm.
Very vague.
Yeah.
It really is. So it's weird. You know, people point out, like, oh, there's no videos taken of it, no cameras. But people didn't carry all that stuff. And it probably happened so fast. It sounds like, you know, people chased it into the woods to see what the heck is this, what landed.
Mm-hmm.
This is Kecksburg, one of the most credible known crashes of something else besides Roswell. There are so many witnesses in the incident. People started walking into the woods looking to see what crashed and had a close-up visual before the military showed up with a flatbed to take the object away, which everyone in town saw. Men in suits used the house. Men in suits used the house phones of a home near the crash to make a few calls. After which, the homeowners tried to get their call logs, and those calls did not exist on the bill.
Oh.
A lot of the original witnesses are still alive today. It says Ben Hansen did a pretty good show. Good show on the UFO witness and covered the Kecksburg crash on an episode. His grandfather was a government contractor who worked all over the country at a moment's notice. And wild enough, a lot of the dates he was called away aligned with known incidents, and Kecksburg was one of those. On his deathbed, he finally told his son some of his experience and stated, without a doubt, we are not alone.
Hmm.
Hmm.
Yeah.
That's wild, right?
Yeah.
a journalist named Leslie King, or Keene, who worked with the Coalition for Freedom of Information, eventually compelled NASA to release their records about Kecksburg. However, the new information didn't reveal much. The documents handed over to Keene did not contain a smoking gun, though they did deepen the mystery somewhat by suggesting that the object that landed in Kecksburg was neither Soviet nor American made.
Yeah. See, I don't know. Like, for me, I mean, listening to all of it and, you know, what I looked over, it's just strange. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I don't think it's some kind of a, oh, it's a, it, easy to explain. Or I think there would be something on it. You know, they wouldn't be trying to hide it or cover it up or, right, oops, we lost it, you know.
Well, what gets me is it was seen from numerous states, mm-hmm, tons of eyewitnesses, mm-hmm, and they don't know what the heck it was.
Yeah.
No answers.
Right. Nothing. No, like, you're right. I know.
Well, it wasn't nothing. There,
I know.
We saw it. It streaked across the sky. It landed in the woods.
Why was it?
What is it?
Right.
There's a guy named Stan Gordon. He's a researcher. In 1998, Gordon said that former members of the military and others with government backgrounds had been among those who had contacted him with similar accounts. One of these individuals claimed to be a former Air Force security policeman who had guarded the object after it was transferred from the Pennsylvania crash site to Lockburn Air Force Base in Ohio. Gordon said that the individual claimed the object was kept at this location for a short period before it was transferred to Wright-Patterson Air Force Base. Based on interviews with witnesses, Gordon said he was convinced that an object did fall from the sky and apparently was removed by the military, concluding the object was either an advanced man-made space probe or possibly an extraterrestrial spacecraft. Then, like we kind of said, Russian officials, Gordon said, he has spoken with, reportedly confirmed to him that the Soviet Venus probe Cosmos 96, which did re-enter the atmosphere on the same date, but at 3:18 a.m. was not the source of what fell that day.
Hmm. Says thousands of eyewitnesses reported its trail, which was visible for hundreds of miles in every direction.
Yeah.
In Kecksburg, Pennsylvania, 40 miles southwest of Pittsburgh, Rob Landy and his brother Ray were outside riding their bicycles. We were riding up the road, and we just happened to look up into the sky, and saw this thing coming over the tops of the trees. It just glided right across the sky, like across the horizon of the trees. We were just like in awe, you know, as we watched it. Then it disappeared, and we ran. It says, you knew what an airplane looked like, you knew what a helicopter looked like, and that didn't look anything like I'd ever seen before. And the angle it was coming in, I mean, you knew that it had to hit the ground. Says 3 miles away, another local boy, Randy Overly, also saw the object. Says, I was playing by a creek at the time and heard a deep hissing noise, and I looked up in the sky and saw an object coming at me from a pretty good distance away. It flew right over the top of me, no higher in the air than 200 feet, and was going no faster than a small airplane would go.
Hmm.
There's other ones. So
that'd be wild.
Isn't it?
Yeah. So this says, 200 feet over your head?
There's tons of these, too. So it says Kevin and Nadine Kalp were also playing outside when the object flew overhead, crashed into a wood ravine half a mile away. This ball of, like, fire came through. It's something that I've never seen before and never seen since. Seeing the smoke then and that time down in the hollow there. Another one was this. I'll read one more because there's tons of these. It says, went up the road, came to the brow of the hill, stopped, and down to the right in the hollow were blue flashing lights. It wasn't searchers down in the woods with flashlights or anything. It was a real bright blue, real bright, like an electric welder. The flashes seemed to be timed with intervals. I don't know. At that point, the troopers decided to close off the area, close off the roads. So he brought two of us, and there was two of these people that were reporting this. It says, brought the two of us back to the fire station.
Hmm.
Yeah, there's tons. Yeah, of that. I mean, there's eyewitness report. I mean, there's, yeah, you can read a bazillion of these.
And we got researcher Stan Gordon.
Yeah, that's one of them, actually.
Yeah, has been at the forefront of investigating.
That's who I was talking about earlier.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Same guy.
Over the years, he's gathered eyewitness testimonies.
Mm.
And in a recent report, Gordon reveals information from a witness in Michigan who observed a military jet firing a missile at the object as it traversed the sky.
Weird.
Adding a new layer of complexity to the case.
That is. Whoa.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's see here. Also among the alleged witnesses had been broadcaster John Murphy, who at the time of the incident was director of WHJB radio in nearby Greensburg. Murphy's former wife told Gordon that she had been in contact with her husband by radio on the date of the incident and that he had been the first reporter to arrive at the location of the impact. According to Gordon, he told her that he went down into the woods and saw the object. Murphy allegedly took photos of the object, which his wife said were confiscated days later by government officials. Murphy went on to produce a radio documentary titled Object in the Woods, which contained no mention of his observations of such an object, though his former wife claimed it had undergone significant edits after the photos were confiscated. 16 portions of Murphy's radio documentary were later featured in Stan Gordon's documentary film of the incident, Kecksburg, The Untold Story.
Hmm. I saw one that's called Encounters with the Unexplained, and it's Kecksburg UFO Crash, What Really Happened at Kecksburg. In 1965, hundreds of witnesses saw an object descend from the sky, crash into the woods outside the small Pennsylvania town. Official government report describes it as a meteor, but eyewitnesses claim to have seen the object up close. They describe it as copper-colored, acorn-shaped, and covered with strange writing. Was it a UFO? And if not, why did the military quickly blanket the area and remove it to a secured Air Force base?
Mm.
The world may never know, because they're not going to let us.
Nope.
Jerk faces, right?
Yeah.
I'm talking to you Mibs out there. No, I'm kidding. Yeah. I'm gonna get myself in trouble.
Watch it.
I know.
They'll find you.
If I'm not back here next Wednesday, you'll know why.
Well, Pete Peterson ought to be filling for you.
Exactly right, yeah. Like,
due to Sean
I have that Sean guy. He said
taken by the
he said Mibs too much.
Yeah. Oh boy.
Statement Gordon had said UFOs are no longer a joke. The government now has the Navy investigations and reports through the Dominion Anomaly Research Office, the AARO. Many federal agents from the FBI are investigating UFO sightings, or what they are now called UAPs,
mm-hmm.
Which stand for Unidentified Anomalous Phenomenon. Mm-hmm. There has been a lot more interest in the public and in Congress and from a lot of people in the scientific community. A lot of people are looking into it because of the whistleblowers. This is no longer a laughing matter.
Mm. You say it's not a joke, but just this picture alone, I come up with three good jokes.
It is kind of hard not to laugh.
It's hard not to laugh. It's like, it's a bell shape,
okay,
right?
Okay, so let's say
it is.
That's what truly what it looked like.
Mm-hmm.
What was inside of it?
Yeah.
Or who was inside of it, right? That's great.
Was an angry hybrid chipmunks? I mean.
Horny hedgehogs?
Horny hedgehogs.
Something.
They took over the.
Making crop circles?
Yeah. Oh, gosh. Very interesting story.
It is.
Especially.
Are we going?
No, I still think it's wild that countries states or mm-hmm. six and a country a different country saw it, right? There's got to be something,
yeah, and there's just absolutely no answers. Nobody's coming off of anything.
No, that's what they usually do with these things, the UFOs and or UAPs. I don't know. The Roswell of Pennsylvania.
Yeah, that's right.
I hope one of these days
we figure out some of this stuff.
We'll be a long day.
Not we, but yeah, it's a cold day in hell.
Some stuff will be released. Like, okay, this is what we've been doing.
Yeah.
Oh, that's nice to know.
Mm-hmm. Have you guys ever seen anything in since you've been alive? Have you ever seen something in the sky that you're like, what the hell is that? Not, you know, that you're like, that's not a...
Not necessarily anything that I was like, hey, what was that? But I mean, I've seen like shooting stars, which are meteorites or whatever, entering the atmosphere. It's not actually a star. But, I do have one. When I was working at FedEx, I was in my tug waiting at the can lot to get some cans. And as I was sitting there, I was just watching the sky. And sort of the same as what this was, is like a fire streak. real low in the sky, went flying across in front of me. It was real short. I mean, you know, maybe a span of quarter of a mile or whatever. And, you know, it lit up, was on fire and streaked, went out.
Well,
so I imagine it was a meteorite hit in the atmosphere or whatever. But yeah. It was very close. Mm-hmm. I hadn't seen one that close and bright because out there at the airport, I mean, there's lights everywhere.
Yeah. Right.
So, I mean, obviously it had to be very bright
in
the night sky to see it with all the light pollution. That one was pretty.
The reason I ask, and it's funny you said FedEx, because I don't know, two or three years ago when I had one of my cleaning jobs on the east side, I was heading there, and I was not quite to FedEx yet. FedEx was a little bit of ways ahead of me, but I saw something in the sky. And I know it's near the airport. This was not a plane, definitely wasn't a helicopter, but I saw something that had a bunch of flashing lights, and it was more of a, I wouldn't say it wasn't hovering, like it wasn't like kind of just staying over top of the Fed, you know, but it was moving, kind of gliding, just kind of a real slow glide. I thought, what in the heck is that? Because it's, like I said, it wasn't a plane. I know what a plane is, and I know what a helicopter. It had multiple lights, and it was, like I said, it wasn't just kind of over the top. It was moving, but it was moving slow, just kind of gliding. And I'm like, what in the heck is that? So I don't know what it was. I can't. I would call it a UAP because it's unidentified in my mind. But I thought it was weird.
Yeah.
I saw it in 10 o'clock or nine. Yeah, 9 o'clock at night. 10 o'clock at night. So it was dark.
Yeah.
I can't think of FedEx. Anything. You know, just like you said, shooting stars and stuff in the sky. But it's possible that I've been flashy thingy too. You know.
So. Oh boy. No, I was kidding. That's true.
Not that I can think of. Yeah, I'm trying to think if there's anything.
But that's the only thing I've had, and I still think about that. Like, what did I see that night? Like, I don't know.
Yeah. That's weird. And I mean, there's stories like that all the time. Like, there's a lot of people who are like, "What in the world is this I'm seeing?" Dan Aykroyd has a really good one. I think he was on a motorcycle or whatever, and saw one in the sky. And it's a pretty intricate story.
Yeah,
that he tells. He's had a couple of them, I think, like UFO encounters. So I think that's fascinating.
I do sit out at the campground because there's less light pollution there, and just lay back in my chair by the fire and just look up at the sky and just. Watch stuff. Like I can see satellites.
Come pick me up. It's time to come pick me up.
I don't know, just look.
Yeah.
I mean, the night sky's cool, in my opinion.
Anyway. Oh, absolutely. I've always liked it, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep, yep, yep. Well, anything else on the Kecksburg UFO incident that you want to say? Mention?
No, but
spell,
it's spiel? Very interesting, though. I mean,
yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. It's a very interesting story. Very, what am I trying to say? It's secretive.
Uh-huh. Yes, very, very secretive.
Very, yeah. So I think there's something to it.
Huh.
It's definitely unexplainable.
I found this.
Oh, what you got?
They go into the somewhat of the story of what happened that night. Let's see. It wasn't until many years later that another witness told Gordon that he was in the woods when he watched several citizens and soldiers arrive at where the object was partially buried in the ground. He saw a man dressed in a black suit and hat, something that he thought was odd, and that man had a camera and was taking pictures. The man in black was also looking at the ground and taking pictures of what the witness thought were tracks that led from the object into the woods. There were later reports that two small humanoid creatures were seen running around the woods.
Oh. Humanoid.
Yeah.
Yeah. You had me at humanoid.
not chipmunks.
No. Were they horny humanoids? Oh, boy. Look out.
We were bound to turn this episode.
It had to happen.
Naughty.
It had to happen.
Very naughty.
The man continued to watch as the army officer jumped on the object. Well, here, let me back up. So after the humanoid creatures, as the witness talked, Gordon said his expression changed and his voice began to quiver. Then he said to me, "I swear to God, sir, there was something inside that thing. The man continued to watch as an army officer jumped on the object and beat it with a long metal rod.
Jeez. Whoa.
Then a hatch opened and the witness saw what looked like a long elastic arm extend out from the hatch opening. Then he heard the hatch close and the officer began yelling, "Hurry up, we don't have much time." And that's when it was loaded on the flatbed truck. So, yeah.
Humanoids.
Humanoids.
Mm. Okay.
That adds another layer
To
all the things.
It does. Because I was wondering if anybody had seen anything or anybody in it or come out of it or...
Mm-hmm. Ewoks, something.
Someone said there was. So,
humanoids. All right.
Small humanoids.
Well, that's a good... Yeah.
Makes me think, Austin and Lydia were talking about, Austin is a huge Star Wars fan, and he said that, he goes,
"I did not know that.
Did you know that Lydia just called Ewoks teddy bears?" And I was like, teddy bears. Well, they kind of are kind of like cute little teddy bears. He's like, "Don't you even start." You know, and I was like,
"They're Ewoks."
I know.
And they do like, look like teddy bears.
She's like, "But they're so cute." Like, "You shut up, woman." Like,
oh my God.
I thought that was hilarious. I was like, man, he's serious about his Ewoks. Yeah, he's going to hear this. I'm going to hear about this.
That's
I guarantee
the statement of the night. He's serious about his Ewoks.
He will leave me messages first thing in the morning. Like he's getting off work, you know, and he's like, "I'm listening to this episode and you're starting to talk about my Ewoks."
Oh boy.
You reckon freaking. Yeah. So I'm going to hear about this one. I know.
Yeah. Well, anything else you can add to this?
He also talked to another.
Man, Nate's
Nate says yes.
Yeah. He heard from a man who could pinpoint the date and time in question when he was in a parking lot in Pontiac, Michigan, and saw in the sky, what looked like a big dark ball surrounded by red and yellow flames. It quickly passed overhead, going from northwest to southeast. He said he was familiar with military aircraft and that an F-101 Voodoo fighter jet that was telling the object fired a missile at it. The witness was frightened by what he saw. Six other people in the parking lot had seen it too.
Well, voodoo.
Voodoo that you do. Yeah, right.
It's a cool name.
That is a cool name.
Well.
So, yeah, I mean, there's tons of stories, tons of eyewitnesses, tons of everything other than what it was.
Gosh. What was it? We do not know the answer.
You know, we set out to figure out all these things and we haven't figured out anything yet, but
no, we haven't.
We're gonna, but this isn't it.
You think so?
This isn't it.
I don't think we are.
No.
So far we're 0-4 on 100.
Gateway to hell. Maybe we'll figure out a gateway to hell. I don't know before.
Yeah. The gateway.
You
or
said
portal
when hell freezes over, which we're pretty darn close.
Yeah. Yeah.
Another account. The witness related that there was a type of workbench and on it was a small body that was covered. Mm-hmm. All he could see, all he could see was the left arm hanging down. Gordon said he saw three fingers and the skin looked kind of lizard like. So it's the lizard people.
That's weird. The reptilians.
The reptilians are among us.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Yeah, boy.
I know a few. I'm guessing they're reptilians, but I won't mention their names. They're lizard-like.
Huh. They're all in politics, aren't they?
Keep that out. It's a crazy story.
It's creepy. Yeah. It gets creepier and weirder.
Yeah, the farther you dive into it, the more questions you have.
Lots of questions, yep.
Yeah, it was a good topic. Good topic.
Good job, Nate. Mm-hmm.
Good job, Nate. Yeah.
Yeah.
More zeros for you. Well, I don't have anything else.
I don't either. I think it was a good topic.
Coming up with more stuff.
It's interesting. Nice job.
Are you tapped out?
Yeah, I'm calling it quits.
No, that was great that you added more stuff. I'm all for it. I just want to make sure. I don't want to cut it off.
Okay. Right.
Well, that was good. Good discussion. We don't know what it was or is. And
that's right. And we're not going to know, are we? Probably. Most likely.
Yeah, most likely.
Maybe after we retire.
retire. I don't know if I'll ever retire.
That's a ways off.
That's a thing. That's a different story.
That's a UFO in itself.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, let's see here. Middle-aged moment or middle-aged dark
side? I'm going to let you off the hook. It's neither. I'm going to do one of my own. There's a reason behind me doing a personal thing, and I think you guys will all like this. I'm going to tell you about my experience first. I had an experience very similar to one you had, like, with your dad many moons ago. I had that this week. So I had
the dream.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so I'll tell you the dream first, and then I'll tell you what. So this is a long. When we get to shout outs, this is a shout out to my father. I'm going to do that. So we're getting March 18th of this next year. It'll be 3 years since he's been gone. And so I had a bit of a, you know, I do my own writings and things like that. And a lot of it I was keeping to myself and, you know, but I've been sharing more of that stuff, of course. This is very, very personal. I wasn't planning on doing a lot of stuff, but I changed my mind. I had finished this within the last week or so, and I shared it with Jenna. I shared it with Harrison. Harrison goes, "Dad, it took me a minute. Like, it made me emotional." And I shared it with Claire. I shared it with my mom and my sister, my brother. That's about it. And then that night when I had shared it with people, and when I read it to Jenna is when I really like got tearful and cried. But that night I had this dream. It was very vivid about like a family get together and the people that I remember being there, and Jenna and the kids and my brother and sister, my mom, my cousin and her husband were there. And then there was a bunch of like people, you know, how you're in a family get together and a few people that you don't really know who that is or who they belong to. And it was kind of like that. And it was like, it was a little anxiety provoking because I'm like, I got to kind of put on a good face and, you know, kind of act like, you know, some of these people. And so I was off. Then we kind of got off, you know, to ourselves where my cousin and her husband were there. So John and Robin and John goes, "Hey, I got a surprise for you." And I was like, "Oh, really?" You know, I'm this like anxiety, you know, this family get together and it's, you know, supposed to be this and that and the other. And he goes like, "Turn around." I turn around and it's my dad. Standing right there. Looked great, you know, clean shaven, hair looked good. He had glasses on. He had one of his favorite purple shirts on that my mom got for him in like silver khakis, you know, or gray khakis. Mm. And he just looked real good. And he, you know, normally he'd be like talking like crazy and I would be too, but it was just, I just grabbed him and hugged him and it felt so good. But I think it was like him saying, "I'm glad you finished that." You know, I'm glad. Yeah. And in finishing it, it was like therapeutic. So this is a look into the soul, but this is, you guys will like this. I think you'll like it. It's called My Father's Son. It says, "I am my father's son, carved from the same stubborn stone, the same quick temper that flared like summer's lightning, the same quick pride that never bent to ask for help. We were two rivers running parallel, close enough to hear each other's currents, but rarely merging, rarely still. He taught me how to throw a punch before he taught me how to say, 'I'm sorry.' I learned both lessons late. There were years of slammed doors, words sharpened into arrows we never meant to fire, silences heavier than any shouted argument. I wanted to outrun the shadow. He wanted me to step into them and stand taller. Neither of us knew how to say the other was enough. He left in pieces, first the strength in his hands, then the certainty in his voice, finally the breath that used to fill every room he entered." And Nate knows him well enough to know that's absolutely true. "I stood at the edge of his bed and realized I had spent decades trying to prove I was different, only to arrive at the same destination, mortal, flawed, afraid. Now the house is quiet in a way it never was when he was angry. His tools still hang in my garage like relics. His handwriting on old envelopes still catches me off guard. I catch myself standing the way he stood, feet planted, shoulders squared against whatever comes next, and I don't fight it anymore. So much comes into focus when the other side of the argument is gone. How much of the fight was fear dressed up as pride? How much of the distance was love too clumsy to cross the room? I see how the man I spent years resisting was the man who kept showing up anyway. In the oil-stained hands that fixed what was broken, in the late-night drives to pick me up without a lecture, in the way he never once said he was proud, yet he looked at me like he believed I was a noble knight. I am my father's son, not because I inherited his flaws or his fury, but because I carry his unfinished sentences, his unspoken apologies, his stubborn refusal to quit on the people he loved, even when they made it hard. The horizon is clear without him standing in front of it. I miss the obstruction. I miss the argument. I miss the man who made me want to be better by sometimes making me want to be anything else. But mostly, I miss him. And in that missing, I finally understand. He didn't leave me half finished. He left me the rest of the work to forgive the boy I was, to forgive the father he tried to be, to step fully into the life he helped shape without ever quite knowing how. I am my father's son, and for the first time, that doesn't feel like a burden. It feels like an inheritance, scarred, hard-worn, and entirely mine to carry forward.
Nice.
So, yeah, nice. It was, yeah. So, that was my, like I said, I took all my shout-outs on that one. But, yeah, it was one, so I had a couple really good songs tonight, and that just laid heavy on my, because I really hadn't planned to share that on a very public way, but I thought this show is where I wanted to say that.
Nice, yeah.
I could have said
glad it you did
till March, but you know, let's just do it early. Yeah. There's no time like the present, but try but yeah. So I think he would like that, but I, the best hug ever, you know,
yeah,
like
cool.
I do miss those hugs, you know, I'm like, you just, it's truly, you'd never know what you got until it's gone. Mm-hmm. And even with all the, you know, I had frustrations like anybody does, you know, people get, they get on each other's nerves. We'll say it that way. But yeah, man, I would, what I wouldn't give to have a conversation like, say, Dad, what do you think about this, man? What
I know. I know.
He tell us all about Kecksburg.
Right? Every day, mm-hmm. I think of my dad. Miss him.
Yeah.
And it's funny, too, because it's literally every day. I think mm-hmm. It could be for a second, or I could just think of a...
Yeah.
For, you know, minutes on it, I, like, think about my dad. Mm-hmm. So every day, I do.
Yeah, absolutely.
Somehow, he creeps into my day.
I thought about him this week when... so, in all the snow and everything, people were so... You could tell, like... just miserable, you know, and it was rough, but I just turned up the music and I was like, have my own little concert party in the car. And I'm like, let's just have some fun. Like, I'm going to get there one way or the other, but I'm going to get there alive and I'm going to get there with a smile on my face, mm-hmm. you know? So
that's the goal,
right?
Get there in one piece, no accident. Right, yeah. Yeah. I know. Yeah. That, no, that's cool. No, I'm glad you read that. Yeah. You know, make me thank my dad. And my dad was one of those dads. I don't know if your dads were, but he was the dad that said, I love you. You know, he was,
oh, yeah,
he was, I love you type person.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I miss that. You know,
I say, you know, in here, I say that he never says proud. He, my dad did though. He did. But I just, I think I didn't believe it, you know, like, oh, you know, and it's kind of weird, but I know he was proud of me, but yeah, he did. Yeah. Like I said, he treated me like I was a knight, you know, like I know he felt that way.
Nice.
So, but yeah.
Okay. Good job.
Awesome.
Thank you. So, appreciate that.
Okay, mm-hmm. So I'm going to say middle-aged dark side.
a little bit light, a little dark.
Well.
I let you off the hook, didn't I?
Yeah. We'll move on to shout-outs then. Sean,
I took mine.
you don't have anything of
no.
or anybody else to shout out?
No.
Okay. Mm. All right. Nate?
Oh, I don't know. Just shout-out to my family. Things have been going pretty good. Everybody's happy. Everybody's healthy.
That's good.
Parker liking his new
that's good.
Yeah, Parker likes his new room. Yeah, we like our new room, I think.
Yeah, I do.
Oh,
I
love it.
Yeah, just.
I'm going to admit something. When I first came in the house.
Did you try to go down there, Parker's room?
No. I had to remember which stairway to take.
Oh, that's funny.
I was like, nope, it's not that one. Yeah, it's the other one.
Yeah, I'm bougie. I got two stairs.
Yeah.
Well, you can make it. You just have to go through Dane's stuff. You're like, hi, Dane.
Yeah, that's right. I guess that's true. Yeah.
No, coming through.
I was like, where am I going? Oh, that's right. I'm going this way.
This is not the one. I mean, obviously, this is where your bedroom's at, too. But this is one that doesn't get as much, probably, like, usage, I guess. But, yeah.
Yeah, I like the studio.
Yeah, I do, too.
So, shout out to your family. That's always a good one.
That's right.
I don't know. I don't see. Do I have anybody to shout out?
Don't shout out the snow.
Man, we've been bad lately. We've been kind of low on the shout outs.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess.
Been bottled up at home. Bad weather.
Yeah. I'd like to shout out to whoever plows the condo association, but I can't because they did a terrible job.
Oh,
like, I'm trying to think of people like
that's a good shout out is the people that have been out there helping people out of the ditches and shoveling snow and getting
there. Yeah.
Once something happened to me that has never happened before, and I'm sure it must happen out there, but the roundabouts, there was a plow that came through and like plowed us in. So there's a whole line of cars. I was the third one back and the lady got out and she went like this. Like,
oh,
she goes, like, it's piled up. And we're like, oh, crap, what are we going to do? We sat there probably a good 10 minutes. And then there was another plow came through, and we're kind of like, hey, you know, can you get us out? And he plowed us, but it was still like a lot of ruts, but you could at least get through it. But that poor lady in the front, everybody was thought, oh, my gosh, what's she doing up there, you know? But she couldn't get through.
Yeah.
And, third one back, and people were just like trying to figure out what in the world are we waiting on. But it's a guy that plowed us in, like,
oh, gosh.
Oops.
Yeah, I'll say shout-outs to all the everybody that's had to, you know, the town, the clearing streets and
all the plow guys, yeah.
I mean, they got it done. I mean, it was messy there for a minute, but, like, I couldn't have done any better for sure. I mean, it's cold, too.
Well,
like,
they're all, I don't know if all of them are out now, but there's plow trucks all over the place even today.
I have a friend of mine that asked me how she hasn't been on the roads. She hasn't been out all week, and she was asking me how the roads are. I said, decent. I mean, you know, all in all. But I said, there's always tricky roads. Mm-hmm. There's always like, uh-oh, that wasn't plowed very well. Or it's just, yeah. So I'm like, well, lucky you. But no, it's been definitely been cold. But yeah, so and that's all the shout-outs I got. So I can't think of anybody else. So we'll move on to the sponsorship of the show. Hey, Creepies, do you like all things spooky? Do you love the fall season? Do you wish it could be Halloween all year long? Well, at Greenwood Happy Haunts, it is. Greenwood Happy Haunts is a year-round Halloween and fall store located at 248 Marka Plaza in Greenwood, Indiana. Custom vintage and unique items adorn the whole store. If you're looking for a unique gift for you or someone else, or just want to visit a place that puts a smile on your face, Greenwood Happy Haunts is for you. Mako listeners can get 10% off a single item when you mention this ad. Come to Greenwood Happy Haunts and get your spook on. Happy hauntings. Thank you, Greenwood Happy Haunts. We appreciate your sponsorship.
We do, and we love them.
Yep.
Yeah.
Always.
Yep.
Yep. Yep. Hey. Oh, yep. 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 Yep.
Yep. Yep. Yep. Yep. We appreciate it.
We do.
We appreciate Scott and Corey. Mm-hmm. Go check out their store. Go buy some stuff. Spend a lot of money. Make them happy.
Yes.
Keep them in business.
Mm-hmm.
That is one business that has to stay.
And all around, anywhere. Doesn't matter where you're at, right? Fly in. No. Fly in.
Oh, yeah. They got good, cool stuff.
That's right.
You can fly in from or drive in from Kecksburg, Pennsylvania.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah, they got
New Delhi.
Got
doesn't matter.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Old Delhi.
New Delhi, Old Delhi. That's right. That is right. So go get you some awesome Greenwood Happy Haunts merch. So we appreciate that. Sean, moving on to second announcements.
I got him over here. Follow us on our social media accounts, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, and X. Email us at makopodcast@gmail.com. That's two A's. Make sure you hit that subscribe button, give us a 5-star rating, and leave a review if the app allows. Whether you are a business or individual and you want to be a show sponsor, email or message us on Facebook or Instagram. And we sell all kinds of awesome merch, so go get you some
nice.
Merch.
Nice.
You like that?
But
not just this.
You know what I haven't checked in a while?
What's that?
In probably at least 3 months, I have not checked to see if we've gotten any reviews or five stars. So let's see what we have here. Yeah, I'm going to do it right here.
Nope.
Not a big thing. We are still stuck at 74 ratings. That's what we had 3 or 4 months ago. And the last review we got was from Jersey Pete.
That's
Pete Peterson.
Peterson.
11 months ago. Mm-hmm. So that's the last review we've gotten. So disc. Out there.
Is anybody on?
You give us
this thing on?
That's right. You're listening to the show. Doesn't take that much effort to rate
it. It sounds like it does, though.
And or review it. So
it does sound like it takes a lot.
It does not.
And you can type in
great show. That's all you have to do. We're not asking for paragraphs. We're just asking
for... Love you a long time. Something.
What are you
I don't know.
Cut his mic. What are you doing? Cut his mic. So anyway, no, we don't have any more ratings or reviews, but that's okay. That's all right. Thank you, Sean, for that.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I guess. Really? I guess, I suppose. Nate.
Yeah.
It's your turn.
Well, if you're ever out in the woods and you come across any small humanoid aliens, tell them to check out Middle Age and Creeped Out.
Yeah.
We'd appreciate it.
Give us a call.
Give us a review.
Yeah, a rating and review.
And that's a wrap.
5 stars.
I like that.
Nothing less. Yeah, I'll check iTunes, and then I'm like, oh, look, we got a review from a humanoid.
Ooh.
A Kecksburg humanoid. Cool. And that's what we like. So anyway, thank you, Nate. And we want to thank you, Creepies, for listening to our episode 254 and our discussion on the Kecksburg UFO incident. Until next time, Nate is your tech engineer, and we are your hosts, Todd and Sean, and we are middle-aged.
And creeped out.
Keep it creepy.